Section 7B, the three sources of traffic. So we're going to cover the three sources of traffic. First of all, there's meeting you in person in real life. There's word of mouth, both online or offline, and advertising. First, we're going to talk about in real life, right? Meeting you in person. This can include everything from meeting you at a gig to meeting you at conferences to meeting you, you know, in day-to-day life, on the subway, at parties, colleagues, all of that. Your personal connection creates the biggest impact. It's one of the reasons I do speaking engagements, because there is no better way to establish myself in people's eyes as an authority. For you, playing live establishes you in people's eyes as a star. Okay, so there really isn't a better way for you to make a big impact. It creates really high quality contacts. People who have seen you live or have met you in their day-to-day lives, there is a connection that's created that starts you off at a much higher level than anyone who discovers you or your music any other way. So I do highly recommend getting out there. And whether or not you're playing out, if that's not the kind of music business you want to have, that's totally fine. But you have to get out there. You have to be meeting people. You have to be talking to people. You have to be making connections, gathering people's information. It creates very high quality contacts, because as soon as you've met someone, you're in relationship with them. Whereas if they hear you on the radio, or they see someone sharing a tweet about you or a Facebook post about you, there's no relationship. Even if they like your page or follow you on Twitter or Instagram, there's still not a relationship. So meeting someone in real life kind of starts you out ahead of the game. Because remember, people buy from the people they know, they like, they trust. And the further you can be into that relationship with them, the easier it is for you to drive traffic, as well as to create and deepen the relationship, to transform them from someone who met you when to someone who's actually a fan and shares about you. One last word about meeting someone in person. If you don't collect their contact information, you've wasted the opportunity. I heard a marketer once say that if a man and a woman meet at a bar and the man gives the woman his contact information, his business card, who has the power in that relationship? She does. Because it's on her to contact him. You always want to have the power in your relationships with your prospective clients, fans, and customers. So always be collecting their information. There's a lot of ways to do that. Obviously, you know, getting their business card or whatever. If you're having a personal conversation with someone, there's asking people to sign up for your mailing list. There's doing a giveaway of merchandise in exchange for people who sign up for your mailing list. There's inviting people to become part of your street team. There's all kinds of ways to bring people into relationship with you in the real world. And I want to encourage you to get over anything that stops you from asking for people's information. If they don't want to give it to you, they won't, and that's fine. But ask for it. Always, always ask for it. The second way of driving traffic is word of mouth. Now, that is word of mouth either online or offline. That's other people other than you sharing you with their circle of influence. This is actually more effective than you meeting people in real life, because it's not you. It's someone else, someone they know, they trust, they like, they're already in relationship with, telling them they got to check you out. Now, this sharing of you, it can happen online, it can happen offline, and it depends on a highly motivated customer. They have to really like you. If they're sharing you with other people, that means they really like you. And you want to reward that behavior. Finding ways to reward that behavior can be a lot of fun. You can run contests and you can thank them publicly and you can do all kinds of really fun things with the fans who have taken upon themselves to promote you. Surprising them with those rewards can also be a lot of fun. So, how do you create that buzz? For one thing, when you meet someone, you offer real value and real connection. Whether you're meeting them in real life or you're meeting them online or you're meeting them through a connection, you offer real value and real connection. These are things that, as much as you can, you don't want to outsource. Your relationships are key to your success. But here's the other thing you have to remember. You need to ask for them to share you. You need to ask for referrals. You need to ask for them to share your posts and your tweets and your, I don't know what Instagrams are called, your Instas. You need to ask for it, okay? You know, even just saying, please share. Or thanking people. I do this a lot on Twitter. I thank people who have retweeted me or liked my tweets. I do it publicly in the stream so that other people see that, hey, I'm being shared, but also that I appreciate being shared. Remember, if you don't create an easy way for them to share about you, it's another wasted opportunity, which basically means you want to be active and present and creating quality content in all of your access points, your website, your blog posts, your online activities and social media, your live shows. You need to be creating really high quality content because that's going to make people want to share you. But then you need to make it really stupid easy for them to share you. So, for example, on your newsletter, allow them to forward your email through a quick share with friends link, which does two things. It sends the email to a third party, but it also gives you that third party's address. Okay? So make it easy for them to share about you. Make it fun, exciting, and worthwhile to share about you. So the third method of driving traffic is advertising. Now, advertising, when we think about advertising, we think about traditional media in general. We think about television and radio and newsprint and magazines, right? But hello, it's the 21st century, and advertising includes everything you do online, everything you do on your website, everything you do in LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, everything you do on YouTube. It's advertising, okay? Without the personal connection, it is the least effective in the short term, but can really generate magic over the long term because what it does or what it can do if it's done correctly is generate name recognition. Now, back in the early days of radio and music and FM in particular, I'm thinking 50s, 60s, 70s, the studios, the record companies would pay for plays on radio stations. Because they recognized that radio is advertising. I hear a lot of people complaining about how Spotify doesn't pay. Well, I agree. You should be paid for these things. I'm not arguing that you shouldn't be. However, you need to hold it as advertising because that's what it is. It's advertising. You want to use social media to promote yourself, but you want to do it in a way that's really savvy and respectful. And I'm going to get into that a lot more a bit later in this section. Social media is the great equalizer because you don't need to spend a lot of money to get your name out there on social media. Whether you're thinking radio or print ads or television or any of those things takes time, energy, and money. But you can be active on social media for free. It does take time and it takes being savvy, but it doesn't cost you anything. So use social media. And when you use social media, know your niche and target your niche, because that really is the key to being successful online. And again, I'm going to explain this in quite a bit more detail in a few minutes. Just remember that, though. If you want to be successful online, you need to know your niche. You need to have researched your niche and know who they are, what their problems are, what their desires and needs are, and where they're hanging out. And again, if you don't create a way to collect their information, you've blown an opportunity, which means you want to drive them to do more than, say, like or follow. You want to drive them to your website and to sign up for your newsletter so you have their information. Because your website, your blog, is your hub of contact. All of your efforts should be driving traffic, either directly or indirectly, to your website. By indirectly, I mean you can, of course, drive traffic to your social media, but then once they're on your social media, you want to drive them to go to your website, always. This is the way it should look. Social media, print media, radio, everything you do, business cards, talking up in front of a crowd of people, everything you do should be driving people to your website. And from there, you want to drive them to your list, your email list. So you need to drive them to sign up because the gold is in your email list. The gold is not in your social media. And again, I'm going to get into that a bit more later. Internet marketing encompasses the following. Your website as a port of entry into relationship with you, but also all the methods of driving traffic to your website, including YouTube video or Vimeo or whatever you're using for your video, social media, microblogging, which are things like Tumblr and Reddit. People do a bit of microblogging on Facebook. There's a lot of sources where you can be microblogging. They used to call Twitter microblogging, and I've never quite agreed with that because I think it's something different. But also commenting on blogs, writing and having articles published, paid advertising such as SEM and PPC, which I'm going to get into a bit more, including social media marketing, so paid advertising on Google and paid advertising on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and paid advertising on other people's websites, right? There's all different kinds of paid advertising online. And then also in real life methods, such as putting QR codes up on your posters, putting links on your business cards, all of those kinds of things, apps, all of that stuff is included in driving traffic to your website. Now, as I was saying, we're talking all around driving traffic. Let's get into some more specifics. One of the things that you can do is blog commenting. In other words, you can go on to other people's blogs, particularly niche-focused blogs, and include your website in your comment. Very often, blogs will give you a space to include your website, and then your name becomes a link to your website. If it's in the body of the comment, don't make it a clickable link. You can do Joe Blow Music, space, the word dot space com, because if you do it as a link, you know, HTTP colon 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 slash slash your website, very often that's going to get flagged as spam, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to become that. You don't want to have a reputation for that. And there's ways to avoid that. We're going to talk about that a bit more in a minute. You also want to do article marketing. So when you have an article, you want to include a short bio and a link back to your website. So there's that article marketing. If you know your niche and you know the things that they read, you can very much get yourself in front of them through article marketing. But I want you to notice that if you're doing that, you're not writing articles about your music. You're writing articles about the things that your niche wants, needs, and desires, and the solutions to their problems, right? Because that's what they're interested in. And then they're going to click the link and say, "Well, who is this person? Oh, wow, they're a musician. Isn't that interesting?" Okay? So it does drive traffic. In your social media, you want to put a link to your website in your profile, and you want to judiciously use links in the posts. And by judiciously, I mean when the context is appropriate, right? You don't want to have a link to your website in every single post, even if it's got nothing to do with you. It becomes annoying and it's a spam flag, but also, you know, it's got to be about them as much as it is about you. So, yeah, if you've got a new blog post and you want to share it out, you're going to have a link to that blog post. Absolutely. And if you've got new music and you want to share it out, you're going to have a link in that new music. And if you've got, you know, a new YouTube video, you want to put a link to your website in the very top of the information for that video so that it's above the cutoff line or the more line. But if it's not relevant, don't do it. Be discriminating about how you do this. And think about how you respond to other people's posts if all they're doing is promotion, promotion, promotion. Okay? You also want to put your website on all printed material and preferably as the @domain.com on your email. You can do that by using your website as your email host. I don't do that. I use Google as my host. I use G Suite for Business as my host, which allows me to use all of Google's features, but my email is still at my website. There are a couple of different ways to do that, but if your email is joe@gmail.com or joe@hotmail.com or whatever, you're missing an opportunity. You're wasting an opportunity to be promoting your website and driving traffic. You can also suggest people visit your website in your signature line. My signature line invites people to like me, friend me, tweet me, as well as visit my website. And in this driving traffic, I want to talk a bit about black hat versus white hat. If you've spent any time at all learning about search engine optimization, you've heard these terms, black hat and white hat. White hat is basically the legitimate way to do this, and black hat is the way that illegitimate businesses do this, and they end up, frankly, getting downgraded by Google and punished by Google and Facebook and other people. So I'm, of course, an advocate for white hat methods, which I'm going to get into in a minute. But before we do that, I think we should define some terms so you know exactly what I'm talking about. And when you start doing more research on this on your own, which I strongly recommend you do, you understand what people are talking about when they talk about these things. So the first one is search engine marketing. SEM is search engine marketing. SEO is search engine optimization. The difference between those two things is, first of all, search engine marketing is an umbrella term that includes search engine optimization, but most people think when they say SEM, they are thinking more in terms of paid marketing, So advertising on Google or Facebook or wherever, that's they think more of SEM. Search engine optimization means that you have optimized everything that you are doing online for keywords that your target niche is looking for, okay? And I've talked a bit about this in the first section when I was talking about designing your website and search engine optimization there. But search engine optimization is about being conscious and intentional in everything that you're doing on your website so that you make it stupid easy for people to find you. PPC stands for pay per click. There used to be a kind of search engine marketing called pay per view, which meant that for everyone who saw your website or saw your advertisement, you would be paying for that eye blink. It gets expensive really fast, and pretty much nobody does it anymore. It's really all pay per click. You don't pay unless someone has clicked through. And finally, keywords. Now, just to remind you, the definition of a keyword is a word or phrase that someone is using to search for something. And knowing who your niche is, knowing what words and language they search for, because it's what their problems are, that will help you use the correct keywords so that Google shows you to them. So you show up on page one in their search. Keywords is really critically important. And I've, in an earlier chapter, I showed you how to do keyword research. So it may seem like this is really technical, but it's critically important because you can write a wonderful blog, but if you don't use the words that people are searching for, they're not going to find it, okay? Which leads me to the white hat methodology of search engine optimization. In other words, what to do. First of all, you want to use keywords organically in your blog posts. What that means is you don't repeat the keyword over and over and over again in a way that is awkward or meaningless. Okay? So if you are writing a blog post for your target market of fly fishing, you don't want to be saying things like, "When I'm fly fishing is really fun. I fly fish all the time to fly fish." Because that's not effective language. So remember that you're talking to humans first. Use your keywords, but use them in a way that feels organic and natural and authentic and human. Okay? And if you think I was joking about that fly fishing, fly fishing, fly fishing, fly fishing, yeah, it happens all the time. You may not have seen it because Google finds them and penalizes them so they don't show up in searches, but it happens all the time. You also want to be sure that you add relevant keywords in your meta keyword field for every page and every post. Those keywords need to be specifically relevant to that page or that post. This is critically important. So if you've got a blog post about your music, don't put fly fishing in the keyword meta tags because that's a black hat thing to do. Be relevant always. Use those relevant keywords in the URL of that post, in the headers within that post, and also any images in the alt text for those images. I'm going to go back to the blog commenting that I mentioned earlier. Now, I did mention going to other people's blogs and commenting on them. Here's what you don't want to do. You don't go on to other people's blog posts and say, "Hey, check out my music. Here's my website." It's annoying and it will get flagged as spam. And once you get flagged as a spammer, there are systems like Akismet which will block you from commenting on other people's posts. In other words, your comment won't get published. What's a real blog comment? Comment on the actual blog. Say something of value. Add to the conversation. I strongly recommend that you not be bullying in those comments. If you disagree with the post, do so with respect and with facts. Be respectful. Don't be a hater. You can also post in relevant places on social media. So, for example, you can post your blogs up on all of your feeds. And for people you've already established a relationship with, you can also share it to their wall or to their feed. But again, you want to do that judiciously. If you don't have a relationship with person, don't do this. There was a period of time when I was constantly, I mean, multiple times a day, getting complete strange musicians, not even liking my Twitter feed, but at mentioning me, "Hey, at Artist Edge, check out my YouTube video, check out my YouTube video, check out my YouTube video." And I would block them because that's spamming, which I'm going to talk about a bit more. Posting it in relevant places on social media. I do a lot of posting to groups on Facebook that I'm participating in, to groups on LinkedIn that I'm participating in, relevant places in social media. If there's another blog post about something that you've written about, you can share about that post in the comments. "Oh, you know, I really agree with everything you said, except the section on X. I have a different take on that, and I wrote about it at length in my blog post called yada, yada, yada." You can also go to links on sites that you think are relevant to what you do, to your niche, to what your interests are, and ask them to link to you. You can submit blog posts that you've written to them and say, "You might be interested in this post. Would you be willing to link to it?" But be, again, respectful. Don't just plaster that to every single website that might target your niche. Be relevant to them. There needs to be a reason for them to do this for you, right? They have to be getting something out of it. It needs to add value to what they're doing. If it doesn't add value to them, they're not going to do it, and they're not going to respect you for having asked for it because you didn't do your research. You didn't do your homework. Okay? And by the way, I get emails almost daily from complete strangers who want me to link to their blog site, and they make the most tenuous of connections, like, "Oh, you know, your post about this, I think you should add my post about that to your post about this," and it'll have absolutely nothing to do with anything. At which point I report them to Google as spam, because I'm on Gmail, so I can do that. What not to do. These are really classic black hat techniques. Every time Google comes out with a new search algorithm, the black hatters will go out and find new ways to circumvent Google's algorithms. And then, of course, Google's going to find out about them and find new ways to change their algorithm to outsmart them, which is why just stay with the white hat techniques. But I'm going to tell you these so that if someone recommends these methods to you, it should raise huge red flags about that person. Now, they may just not know any better, or they might be a black hatter, which is something that you want to know about someone. First of all, placing trending keywords that have no relevance. In other words, for example, when Lindsay Lohan had the big blow up and she was, you know, going to jail and she was in court and yada, 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 there were a lot of people searching for her name. And the black hat started placing her name as a keyword in the back end, even though the website had nothing to do with her. Okay, this is an example of placing trending keywords that have no relevance to the content of your site. Something called keyword stacking and stuffing. Stacking is what I said earlier about using the keyword over and over and over again in the content of the post or the page in a way that humans don't speak, that doesn't make sense. But keyword stuffing is about the back end, is about using non-relevant keywords in the meta keyword field and in the images. People do things like putting invisible text. So for example, if your background on your website is white, you can change the text to be white and it would be invisible. And a black hat method is to stack or stuff keywords in white text so that the people reading it don't see it, but the spiders crawling from Google and Bing and whatever do see it. But if it's not relevant, it's going to get downgraded and you're going to get blacklisted. Spam commenting on other people's blogs, say, hey, great post, check out my website for this. That's spam commenting. You don't want to do that. Spam social media posting is posting on other people's walls about what you have for sale. It's posting or tweeting, hey, and at mentioning, and check out my new YouTube video, check out my new YouTube video, check out, it's like that's all you're doing. That's the only content you're posting. That's spamming on social media. Pumping numbers on social media, I'll tell you what this looks like. This looks like you friending a whole bunch of people, and then when they follow you back, you unfollow them or unfriend them, which makes your numbers look better. But that's a methodology that can get you in big trouble with the social media folks. So I recommend you not do it. But here's another thing. If you follow someone and they follow you back and you then engage them in conversation, guess what? That builds relationship. Even though it's on social media, it's not in real life. If you're having a conversation with them on social media, that builds relationship. Seeking links or linking to sites that aren't relevant in order to get them to link back to you is another black hat methodology. Fundamentally, the way to avoid being a black hat is to be honest, to be human, and to be relevant. Okay? So now I'm going to get into a bit more on social media marketing, the art of engagement. I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. People buy from the people they know, the people they like, and the people they trust. And that comes from engagement, not sales, okay? So not buy me, buy me, buy me, buy me, but from finding out who people are, engaging in real conversation, retweeting their stuff or sharing their stuff, right? That is engagement. So I want to give you a bit of a social media overview. As I said at the very beginning of this chapter, I'm going to talk in more broad strokes for this chapter because, you know, social media sites come and social media sites go. And I could have created this product in 2004 and all I would be talking about is MySpace. Everything would have been about MySpace. In today's world, new social media sites are being born every day. I mean, 5 years ago, Instagram didn't exist. 10 years ago, Twitter was just being launched and Facebook was just a year or two old, right? Things come, things go. What's hot today may be gone tomorrow. And for me to give you the best ways to do X on one social media, it's not going to last forever. And I want you to have really the fundamental concepts because then you can learn any social media and what's appropriate on that social media, what works on that social media. Okay, so I want you to understand these fundamental concepts because then you'll know how to apply them to whatever social media you're looking at investing in. First of all, there are general social media sites and niche social media sites. I would say that Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, you know, all of those are general social media sites. However, within those sites, some of them cater to niche markets. Facebook groups, right, will cater to niche markets. Twitter will offer you, if you're really clear in your profile and you tweet a lot about a particular topic, Twitter will offer you followers who are also in that niche. So there are ways to be more niche oriented within these more general social media sites. But there are also sites that are very, very specific to niche, such as Reverb Nation for music and IMDb for film and television. There's something called Ning, and if you just search Google for Ning, Ning is a place for anyone who wants to start their own social media site or group site. And many of them are very much niche focused, and many of them are open. You can find groups on Ning for your target market. There's also specific forums like Taxi. Reddit, while being a general social media site, is actually very niche oriented. You can find very niche specific targeted lists on Reddit. And in the link for this chapter, I've posted a link to find forum listing services. And again, that link in a year or two might break. In fact, an earlier chapter lists a link that no longer works. So really, I just did a Google search for finding forums. So, you know, Google is always your friend. So here are the rules when it comes to social media. Advocates are better than followers. What do I mean by that? People who like your posts, who engage with your posts, who comment and share your posts or your tweets or whatever, are more valuable to you than just having lots of numbers. Quality is important over quantity. Engagement is important over numbers. It's important to look at how many people are sharing you and find the people who are doing it the most and also engage specifically with them. If people talk to you anywhere, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or wherever, if they talk to you, you have to respond, and you have to respond in a timely way because it's all about engagement. And again, context matters. You need to know what your niche is talking about so that you can talk to your niche in their language. You want to meet them where they are. You want to be of service and of value to your niche. But when you're talking about what you do, you always want to be talking about benefits over features. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, let's say you're promoting a gig. You're not going to talk about how long the gig is, the number of songs you're doing, whether or not they're all going to be ballads, right? Those are all features. How many seats, whether they serve food, right? Those are all features. You want to be talking about what a rollicking good time they're going to have at your gig and how much fun it's going to be, how you're going to be offering them stuff that they can't access any other way. You want to make it valuable and exciting and intriguing and interesting. That's benefits, not features. You want to remember that social media tools are a means, not an end. Playing games on social media is not going to take you where you want to go. Spamming people on social media is not going to create advocates. In fact, it's only going to piss people off. You might get lots of numbers, but you won't make any money. You won't put butts in the seats. You won't sell music or tickets or merch. Okay? They're a means, not an end. What are they a means towards? They're a means towards creating relationship with your fans. They're a means towards allowing your fans to get to know you, to like you, to trust you, so that they will want to buy from you when you have something to buy. And what that also means is that gimmicks marginalize trust. That doesn't mean you can't play games, but if that's all you do, then people aren't going to feel like they know you, okay? So you can use games like contests, but they need to create engagement. In order to win, people need to share you. You need to engage with them when they're playing. It needs to create relationship, okay? So now I want to give you the three biggest mistakes when it comes to social media. The biggest mistake is don't use it. I'm not going to use social media. I make old-fashioned music, and I'm just not going to use it. Social media is the great equalizer. You are honestly blowing a huge opportunity if you don't use the internet and social media to market yourself. People who don't use niche marketing methods on social media, they try to appeal to everybody. They think that going wide is the way to go instead of going deep and narrow. And finally, not systematizing. Systematizing is really critical because if you don't systematize, social media can eat up your life very quickly. So you need to create systems. Also, what creating a system will do is enable you, when you're hitting it big, to be able to outsource social media. The more you've systematized, the easier it is to outsource. And finally, your bonus, I did say three, but I've got a fourth, is misunderstanding social credibility. Now, having large numbers of followers and fans on social media gives you social cred. So what I said earlier about it being about quality, not quantity, that's the only way in which quantity helps you. Quantity can help you in your appearance of legitimacy to venue owners and bookers, to agents and managers, to record labels when it comes time to do that. But what they think it means is you've got all these fans who are going to show up to your events and buy tickets and buy merch and buy your music and download your music and all of that stuff. Which means if you're pumping numbers or you're buying fans or followers, then as soon as you don't fill the venue or you don't sell the number of records the record company assumed you would be able to sell when they signed you, they're gone. So that can really blow a big opportunity for you. So the more organic and authentic fans you have on social media, the better. Which means you do need to work it, and you need to work it with consistency, which is why you need to systematize. So now I'm going to give you the three keys to success in social media. Key number one, your profile. Critically important that you use your profile to its fullest advantage, which means you fill it out in full before you do anything else to drive traffic to your social media. Now, what that means depends on the social media, right? I believe Twitter is still 160 characters in your profile, so you need to be very judicious in what you put in. Whereas your Facebook page, you can put a lot of information in there. You want to use it to its fullest advantage. Don't be kitschy. That gets old really fast. Be professional. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be funny. That doesn't mean you can't be unique and creative. You want to be unique and creative. However, you don't want it to go out of style quickly, or you're going to be spending time and energy and money updating it over and over and over again. You will want to update it every time you put out a new album. Absolutely. Every time you have a new major tour. Absolutely. But don't be kitschy. Use your keywords, critically important. Use your target market keywords in your profile. Don't use the hashtag, at least not on Twitter. Most social media sites that allow hashtag linking will show up things in searches whether or not they have the hashtag, okay? You can use the hashtag in your posts, absolutely, but you don't need to in your profile. You just need to use the keywords, okay? So use your keywords in your profile. Be specific and be complete and use up all the space they give you, every single character of it. And again, make sure that you have a link to your website everywhere you can, okay? That's key number one. Make sure your profile is quality. Learn the culture. The culture for each social media site is different. And if you don't learn the rules, you won't be successful or you won't be as successful. Learn that particular site's definition of spam. Learn it, respect it, and don't do it. Don't be like those people. Understand what's appropriate for a particular site. What works on one site is going to not work or perhaps work against you on another site, which is why I recommend being very careful if you push from one site to another, because you can really offend people if what is fine and acceptable on one site and is not fine and acceptable on another site, but you're pushing from site A to site B, and you can get yourself into big trouble. So don't do it. Respect the culture. Don't post exactly the same thing everywhere. You can post the same information, but do it differently. Do it in a way that's going to work on that social media. You can start to see why it's important to systematize, but also to delegate as quickly as you can with this stuff, because it can be quite a bit of work. And remember, social media is not about promotion, it's about engagement, even though I listed it as a form of advertisement. The methodology is not promotion, it's engagement. So when you post, you always want to post in a 7-to-10 ratio, which means you don't promote more than 3 out of every 10 posts, okay? The rest, that 7, is either content that is of value to your fans, followers, niche, sharing from other fans and followers and experts to your niche, sharing things that are fun and entertaining and communicate more about who you are and what you enjoy and allow people to get to know you better. That's the 7. The 3, which means maybe every second or third post, you can post about what you have for sale or what you have on offer. Key number 3 is to systematize your communications, which I've already mentioned, but it's critically important. Don't let social media take over your life. It happens. Oh my gosh, it happens so easily. You want to use the tools available. Now, I'm mentioning 2 tools, TweetDeck and Social Oomph. Who knows? There are a million out there. Find the ones that work for you. This is on you to do the research and to ask and to look into what tools are going to make sense for what you're looking to do with social media and which sites you're working on. You have to understand that every site has its own rules. So, for example, if you post from an external site like Social Oomph to Facebook, Facebook won't show you to as many of your followers. Facebook wants you to be on Facebook, right? So there's some things you can use and some things you can't, and you just need to learn what's going to work on whatever social media site you're working with. Set up a schedule, set up a system, automate where you can, but be very careful. As I said before, some things will work, some things will work against you. So understand the social media site you're working on and create a system that's going to work for that social media site, okay? Bonus key to success, be a go-giver. What do I mean by that? Be generous in your social media engagement and interactions. There are 4 keys to engagement. Respond when they talk to you. Do you want responsiveness? Is a prime key to engagement. Gratitude. Be grateful when people share you. Be generous. Share others without strings. Don't require them to like you back or share you with their followers. They'll share you with their followers if what you are putting out is of value to them and their followers. Okay? But saying to someone, hey, I liked your page, like mine back, is annoying. Like someone's page because you like their page. Like someone's profile because you like what they're doing. Share them because you think what they're doing is going to be of interest, entertaining, or of value to your clients, customers, and fans. And finally, show yourself with authenticity. Let me say a little something about that. I know that people get a little freaked out with this sharing of yourself and lack of privacy. I recommend that you sit down and really think about what your sharing policy is going to be. So, for example, I know someone who shares a ton about their cat. I know someone who shares a ton about their child. I know a lot of people who will never share anything about their child because it can be dangerous or it can be embarrassing to the child somewhere down the road, right? You decide what you will share and what you won't. It's okay to create boundaries and honor those boundaries. You do want to share enough so that people get a real sense of who you authentically are, what's important to you, what you love, and what you value. But don't share anything you don't want people to know. Don't share anything that it's not okay with you to be in public, even if you share it in a protected mode. Because the truth is, once it's on social media or the internet, it's public, okay? So I want to talk a bit about how social media integrates with your multiple streams of music business. Some of this may be obvious, and I've talked about it in earlier chapters, but I do want to review so you have a context for the work that you're doing on social media and the internet. All of this also applies to everything you're doing on your website. In step one, you picked your niche. You can use social media to determine the viability of your niche. Do they gather? Do they refer to themselves as a group? Can you find them via Twitter and Facebook searches, via Instagram searches, via LinkedIn searches? Can you find them using how you're qualifying them as a niche? What are they calling themselves? How do they refer to themselves? And can you find them as a group? That's going to help you pick a viable niche. In steps 2, 3, and 4, step 2, which is determine what they want, need, and desire, what their problems are, you can be eavesdropping. They're talking. You need to be listening. What are they talking about? What is important to them? What are the problems they're describing? What language do they use in describing those problems? You can ask provocative questions to get them to talk more about their wants, needs, and desires, to talk more about what solutions they're looking for, and to talk more about what kind of packaging, what things they use. Ask questions. You can also eavesdrop on your competition. How are they using social media? What can you learn from what they're doing? And what can you learn not to do from what they're doing? You want to optimize your profile page, Twitter profile for SEO, SEM, and to appeal specifically to your niche. And design your social media pages again to drive traffic to your website, which is also part of step 5, generating traffic. Find people in your niche and invite them in, right? You can find them in the search.twitter.com, or you can just put it in the little search field at the top right of your Twitter feed. You can do advanced searches on Facebook or LinkedIn. This is a fun little technique. You can look at the friends of your fans and like them or follow them, right? You can look at the fans of your competition. You can look at the fans of the other more successful bands that are in the same genre as you are and start liking and following their fans. You can also look at who they're following, because you may find other people that you want to follow, either because they're experts in your niche or because they're going to have fans who might like what you do. Okay, so you can do this as long as you're not churning too much. You don't want to be following and unfollowing too much, too soon, too quickly, because that's a red flag for the social media sites that you might be a spammer or you might be unethical in what you're doing. You want to invite and follow and talk to people, which means you like people back. People love it when you like them back. If they like you and they become a fan, like them back. Share what they're posting. They'll be so flattered. By the way, this is a great way to turn someone into an advocate. If you be a go-giver to them, they're more likely to be giving to you. And again, don't spam. Now, I know that this section was long and represents a lot of work. That's okay. This is a marathon, not a sprint. You knew that going in. The smarter you are in designing systems, in doing the research, in creating valuable content, the easier all of this is going to be. If you put the work in early, you can do this without giving up your life. Frankly, once you've got these things set up, you can actually work your social media 15, 20 minutes a day if you do it with consistency. But you have to set up the systems first.